Book of James, James chapter 1, and then get ready, right after that we're going to Nehemiah. So get ready, Nehemiah. Nehemiah is actually right in front of Psalms. Go past Job, go past Esther, and you'll bump right into Nehemiah. But we're going to James first, James chapter 1, and let's look here in verse 2. James chapter 1. In verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." I like what one translation says. Different types of tests and trials. Count it all joy when you fall into different types of tests and trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What a powerful scripture. Let's read those two scriptures again, or those three scriptures. My brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, different kinds of tests and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't come to that place yet. Huh? There's still some things in my life I want. And here we've got a recipe for obtaining them. Now, the title of this series that we're doing on Sunday mornings, we started it last week, is Why Struggle? Why Struggle? You know, God is our Father. How many of you know God's your Father? If you're born again, at least, God is your Father. If you've accepted Jesus, you've got a brother in Christ and a father in God. Amen. And just like any other father, or at least any other good father, God doesn't want his children to suffer. That's a fact. He doesn't want us to be in pain and in misery. He doesn't want you weighted down, stressed out. Now, he wants us to find, just like any father, I long for my kids to, when they grow up, to find what they're called to do in life and do it well and perfect their gift and all of those things. But I don't want to see them hurting. I don't want to see them struggle. I don't want to see them struggle financially. I don't want to see them struggle in their relationships. I don't want to see them struggle in raising their kids. And God's the exact same way. God doesn't want to see you struggle. Amen. He wants your life to be enjoyable. He wants you to enjoy your life and to savor life. And to help us with that, he's given us some tools. He's given us some equipment to work with so we don't have to struggle. And one of those tools we talked about last week, it's a tool called patience. Amen. We said last week, it's one thing for you to add something to yourself, but it's a whole nother thing for God to add something to you. And so oftentimes in your life and mine, we want what we want and we want it now. I mean, we want it now. We wanted it yesterday. We want to see it in our life now. And you hear preachers say it all the time, but it's the truth. We live in a very instant world. You got instant coffee. You got fast food. And I mean, everything's fast. And we expect life to be that same way. We want to see things turn around fast. We want to see a raise come fast. We want to get in that house now. We want to get that new car now. And it's good to have desires. God wants to give us the desires of our heart. But friends, if we're always living from one thing to the next, always in our own strength trying to obtain things, it's going to lead to frustration. Remember the example that we gave last week of Abraham. I can't remember if we got to it in this service or not, but Abraham's main desire was to have a child. Isn't that right? I mean, he wanted it more than anything. He was a very successful man, but he wanted a child. And so he's living with this desire, waiting on the Lord to add it to him. But he gets ahead of God, and we said that's a dangerous thing, to get out ahead of God, get out of God's timing. And he decides that he's going to add it to himself. You remember his wife comes to him and says, why don't you just take my servant Hagar and lay with her, and you know she can bear you a child. And we saw he did that, and it produced Ishmael. And Ishmael was always a thorn in his flesh, a thorn in Sarah's flesh, a thorn in Isaac's flesh. Why? They got what they wanted, but it really wasn't what they wanted. They thought they wanted it, but once they got it, they realized they didn't want it. See, they got ahead of God and added something to themselves, and that thing caused them misery. It caused them struggle. And friends, anything in our life that's causing a struggle right now, a lot of times it's because we tried to add that thing to us without allowing patience to have her perfect work. When patience has her perfect work, the scripture will do exactly what it says it will do. We will stand perfect and entire, wanting nothing, but we got to be patient. We'll probably talk about this next week. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But faith gives God time. It'll wait on the Lord. It doesn't expect everything to just turn immediately. No, it's sit back and enter in over into face rest, trusting that God will take care of everything He said He would take care of, that God will make everything beautiful in His time. We got to learn to be patient. But notice there's another spiritual force at work here. Notice in verse 2, he says to do something immediately when you enter into different types of tests and trials. We all face things differently. There are people in here who may be facing a relationship issue. There may be some who's facing a financial issue. There may be people facing a house getting foreclosed on or whatever it may be. And so all of our tests and trials may be different. But regardless of what that test and trial is, you are to do something immediately when you get in it. You are to count it all joy. As soon as you sense yourself encountering a test and a trial, the first thing you need to keep an eye on and keep your eye there throughout the whole process is, where's my joy at? I heard Brother Copeland, I just heard him say this on the way over to church. I was listening to a CD series that he had done out called Joy, a Major Spiritual Force. And, you know, Brother Copeland, he's long-winded, so it took me a time to get over into CD number 3. And he just got to talking about joy by CD number 3. It was wonderful teaching all the way there. But anyway, I finally got to it on the way over this morning. And while I was driving, he was talking about how the Lord began dealing with him that joy is a major spiritual force. And he said the Lord showed him that in his life, it was his biggest weakness. That was the one area that he needed to pay attention to and strengthen himself in. And friends, I'm telling you, in your life and in mine, we have to, I mean we have to, you have to keep an eye on your joy level, specifically when you're entering into a test and a trial. You've got to watch joy. You've got to measure it. You've got to make sure you're in it. Well, why? Well, let's go over to Nehemiah and look at it. Why would the Lord tell you to get happy, get excited, get joyful when you go into different types of tests and trials? Well, we're going to find out why in Nehemiah chapter 8. Like I said, go past Psalms, go past Job, go past Esther, and you're going to bump right in into Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. I'm sure many of you know this scripture, but I want you to lay your eyes over on it. Get it in your heart. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. It says, then he said unto him, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Now, this is interesting. Let's just stop right here. Nehemiah has just read the word of the Lord. I believe that starts out in verse 5 or verse 6. And apparently he was reading some things that when the people heard it, it got them a little sad. It got him a little grieved. It got him a little heavy. I heard Brother Copeland say this on that CD on the way over this morning. He said that he was eating with Billy Brim right before the service. And she said, you know, everything spiritually has a reciprocal. On one end is one thing, but on the other end is the complete opposite. It's like a north-south. You know, if you're heading north and going north, you're going north. But if you turn around and just go a different direction, start heading south, you're going south. And south is the complete opposite of north. Well, the same thing is true spiritually speaking. Faith has a complete opposite that's just as powerful in a negative way. Does anyone know what faith's polar opposite is? Fear. That's exactly right. Fear is a destructive force. Faith creates things. Fear destroys things. Does that make sense? Faith creates substance to the things you desire. Fear tears apart the things that you have in your life right now. It's a polar opposite. Faith creates the life that you want. Fear tears apart the life that you have. The polar opposite of each other. Well, there's a thing called the glory of the Lord. And it's written all throughout Genesis to Revelations. And glory is the complete goodness of God. I mean, it's lighty. It's God's joy in your life. If the glory of the Lord is upon you, if the glory of the Lord comes in a room, there's joy, there's peace, there's lightness, there's freedom. Well, the reciprocal of the glory of the Lord is grief. Grief is a major spiritual force that works against you. It weighs you down. It makes you heavy. It makes you sluggish. It makes you not want to get out of bed in the morning. It makes you not want to put in the effort to take care of your kids. And it can come on you in many different ways. It can rest upon you. And I mean, just sit there. People live life for years in it. And most of the time it comes in what James chapter 1 tells us it comes by. It comes by test and a trial. Something happens in life, an event, rather caused by some type of circumstance or by some person, and grief settles in on us. Friend, I'm telling you, it's a trap. And these people, grief started settling in on them. And I like what Nehemiah told them to do. He said, go get yourself a good meal. Amen. Get yourself something sweet to drink. Drink you a Coke. I mean, you need some energy. Then he said, go give something to somebody who has nothing. I like that. Then he tells them something else. He tells them why to do this. And notice what he tells them in verse 10. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not a type of strength. It is your strength. It's not a form of strength. It is your strength. Joy is your strength. If you don't have it, you're weak. If you're weak, you're vulnerable. If you're vulnerable, you'll be attacked. If you're attacked, you're going to find out it comes in bunches. You know what I mean by that? The enemy piles on. And he seeks whom he can devour. Walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, who's he looking for? The weak. Who are the weak? The people who have no joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why don't you say that? Say, joy is my strength. Say it again. Say, joy is my strength. Now get that. If you don't get nothing else, get this. Joy is your strength. If you don't have it, you're weak. If you're weak, you're vulnerable. And if you're vulnerable, you'll be attacked. If you don't have joy, your relationships are vulnerable. The enemy will come in and start attacking them. He'll bring a divide between you and someone else. If you don't have joy, you're vulnerable financially. The enemy will come in and start causing chaos there. If you don't have joy, you're vulnerable physically. You already know that. 90% of doctor's visits are stress related. Why? If you don't have joy, you're vulnerable. A merry heart, what's it do? It doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit will do what? It'll dry the bones. Why? If you have joy, you can be strong. That's why if you see people who are sick, what's one of the first thing that goes? Joy. And if you want to overcome that sickness, you got to have your strength. What is your strength? Joy. Man, if you're facing a financial problem and you want to come out of it, listen to me. Determination is not your strength. Joy is your strength. You got to get your joy back. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In between services last week, I was just praying and thinking about what I was talking about, patience. And I had been reading a book that week just for fun, called The Seven Pillars to Health by Dr. Colbert. And in that book, the first thing that he majors on is water. And he talks about how important it is to drink water. He's talking about how your body is made up of mostly water. I've got it all written down in my notes, but no one likes it when you read from your notes. I mean, it's boring. So I'll give you percentages, but I can't guarantee that they're going to be accurate. I'll hit the ballpark, though. I'll stay in the same zip code. But he talks about, and he goes through all the list of organs, how your skin is like 75% water. Your brain and its cells are like 85% water. And your kidney, he goes throughout all these different organs and talks about how they're all within, I do know this, the 70% to 85% range of made up of water. And so he was talking about how you lose water in through perspiration and other different ways. You got to drink it to replenish yourself. And he was saying that your body, it's smart. It'll take that water that you drink and take it to your most vital organs first. Things like your brain, your heart, all of that, your kidneys, your liver, to keep it going. So if you drink water, it's going to use that water first for those organs. Keep them going. But if you drink other things that are not water, a lot of them dehydrate you even more. Take water out of your system. And so he was talking about how when your body doesn't get enough water, all of your other organs start to be affected. Things like your skin. Do you know the best way to have good skin is to drink a lot of water? When your body and skin starts to crack and things like that, it's because your body's taking all the water that you're getting and taking it to those organs that are vital, that are essential. See, you came here to hear about church and now you're getting health tips. Look at there. Learn something new every week. But your skin will start to crack. It'll start to get wrinkles. Why? It doesn't have enough water. Your body's taking your water to your vital organs. Then he talked about your joints. Your joints. The cartilage, he said, in our joints is 5 times slicker than ice. Isn't that interesting? I do know that. 5 times slicker than ice. That's what enables your body to glide. 5 times slicker than ice. But when you start getting pains, it's when that cartilage in those joints starts to dry up. And one of the reasons why it starts to dry up is you're not getting enough water. In fact, he said things like migraines, joint pain, backaches, all of that are primarily caused because people are drinking not enough water. I remember Brother Hagin talking about, you know, he was 86 years old, and I know very few men today who are in their prime who could keep up with him. I mean, just healthy and strong, 86 years old, teaching in Bible school every day, holding 2 weeks meetings, preaching morning and night. And he said one of the things the Lord told him to do was stop drinking Diet Cokes. He really liked Diet Cokes. And he didn't know all the physical things it'd do to you. But he started having a little bit of back pain. And the Lord told him, stop drinking that. Stop drinking Diet Cokes and drink water. Well, I'm sure he didn't read Dr. Colbert's book. I don't know, maybe he had. But that's a fact. That's a fact. When we start getting joint pains and all of that, a lot of times, it's not the only reason, but it is a big reason why joint pain happens, is because our joints aren't getting enough water. Well, anyway, I'd read all that during the week. And I'm sitting there in the back room, and just on the inside, the Lord spoke this to my heart. What water is to your flesh and your body, joy is to your life. What water is to your body, joy is to your life. And if you don't have enough joy, and you're not walking in joy, it's going to start making you brittle. Brittle in life. It's going to start making you, like we said earlier, vulnerable, weak. Joy makes you strong. It's what enables you to operate in faith. There's joy and peace in believing. You cannot be in faith and not have those two things. If you say you're in faith, I'm in faith for whatever to turn around, or I'm in faith for this desire. If you're in faith, it's always going to be accompanied with joy and peace. I know from whence I speak. In 2010, the first part of the year, it seemed like everything in my life just broke loose in a bad way. My identity got stolen. I know many of you know the story. My identity got stolen, and someone wrote fraudulent checks in my name for over $9,000 to different Walmarts all across Mississippi. I mean, just... that, obviously, that's frustrating, and I won't go into all the reasons as to why it was frustrating, but, you know, that's never fun when someone does something like that. And then, on the church level, we were getting ready to, build the church and all those fun things, and we had everything set up. I mean, we had talked to the city, and they said, yeah, we're tired of an empty parking lot. We want a building out there in Flowood. And so we were excited about that. We had our bank come and tell us, yeah, we're going to loan you a certain amount of money. And we're excited about that. And then we had negotiated our church sale out there. So we had all the money that we needed. I mean, it was just, yeah, let's do it. Light and easy, just the way I like it. And I kid you not, in 1 week, every bit of that stuff fell apart. The church cell came apart. The bank came back and told us, we said we'd give you that, but we're not going to give it to you anymore. And then the city came and said, well, you know, we know you. We said this, but we're instituting this thing called an architecture review board, and your facility is going to have to go through them. And I mean, over the next couple of weeks, everything just carried on. And it looked like we'd never get that building permit. And it looked like we'd never be able to sell the church. And it looked like I'd never be able to get that money back that was stolen from me personally. And the more it's happening, it's a serious heavyweight test and trial. The more it's happening, the less and less joy I'm operating in. Now, I know that's probably never happened to you. All of you just are excited all the time. I know it. I'm just talking about me. I mean, the more that's going on, the less and less joyful I am. Now, if you'd asked me, are you in faith? I'd have looked you square in the eye and said, of course I'm in faith. I mean, I probably would have been ugly about it. My joy was gone. But I'd have told you I was in faith. I'm believing God. This is going to turn around. But buddy, I'm up at night. I'm thinking about it all the time. Worried about it. I'm stressed out. Stress is the result of an overworked mind. You can sit at home for a week and not do anything and be stressed. If your mind never shuts down, it's always working. That's where stress is created. Stressed out. And I can remember driving home one day from work, hitting the Natchez Trace, and I realized I hadn't gone to the Lord about anything other than my problems for weeks. Now, I'm giving you a tip here. I said I hadn't gone to the Lord for anything else other than my problems for weeks. Now, I was praying a lot, but it all centered around the thing I was praying for, these issues, these tests and trials. And I realized I hadn't fellowshiped with the Lord as far as just fellowship. Just worshiping Him and giving Him thanks. And I started doing that, and I mean tears started coming down my cheeks, just asking the Lord to forgive me, because I knew I'd let that slip. And so I started going to Him all throughout that day, just when I got home. And I tell you what, I noticed something. My joy started coming back. I guarantee you, my wife could probably testify. I was a little bit easier to be around. I'm not cranky by nature, but I'll get quiet. I mean, I'll just be there. I'm there, but I'm not there. My mind is somewhere else when I get tense. And God never intended us to operate that way. My joy started coming back. And then I got a phone call a couple of hours later from my builder, the builder of the who built this church, and he's a spirit-filled man, just a wonderful man. And he called me up and said, Joel, I've been praying about this. It's nice when your contractor's praying about the facility. He said, I've been praying about this. I just got peace about it. I have peace about it. And when he said that, my mind almost went tilt because it looked like there's nothing about this situation to be peaceful about. But I knew it when he said it in my heart, I had peace about it too. I knew it'd work out. It'd work out in God's timing once patience has its perfect work. I knew I'd stand perfect and tired and wanting nothing. But peace started coming. Joy started coming. That joy is your strength. And friend, I kid you not, that was on a Thursday. By Monday morning, everything, every one of those issues completely turned around. Every one of them. Every one of them. Now, I'm not telling you this morning, if you get happy, come tomorrow, every one of your issues will be worked out. But I am telling you this. I am telling you this. You've got to get it back for them to turn around. I don't know when. I don't know how long patience is going to work until you stand perfect and tired and wanting nothing. But I do know this. While you do it, you got to be joyful or else you'll never endure. You'll never endure. The joy of the Lord is your strength. My mother, I'll say this in closing. We'll go to, we don't have time to go to one other scripture, but I'll say this in closing. My mother went through some serious issues. I mean serious, when my father passed away. And, you know, she's believing for a lot. She wants to get remarried. She's believing to find the right person. And she was believing for the church to continue to grow, believing for her kids that they would be able to carry on the work of the ministry. And I came home from Bible school, and man, I could see it. And I know she wouldn't mind me preaching on this because I've preached on it before. I could see it. I didn't know much. You know, I was fresh out of Bible school. I didn't know much. But I did learn one thing through healing and prayer school out there at Rhema. You know, you see people dealing with issues all the time. And I did know this, that I saw people, especially in the area of healing, who got a complete turnaround in their physical body. And I saw that those people always had joy. That the people, you could almost pinpoint it, the people whose issue was going to turn around would always be those who had joy. And you could tell people would be saying all the right things, quoting all the right scriptures, but it's not in the right spirit. It's more of the mechanics of it. There's no joy, no kick of joy behind that faith. And without joy, there is no faith. And I came home and I saw my mom. I mean, she was carrying the weight of all of that. Well, you got to be responsible. Friend, the Bible talks about casting all, not some stuff, all of your cares over upon the Lord. And so you can ask her. It was a motto of our morning routine. I tell her, faith is happy. I don't know a whole lot, but I know this. There's joy and peace in believing. Faith is happy. And friends, if you're encountering a test and a trial, you got to get your joy back. You got to watch it. The scripture I was going to turn you to, and you can go to it for homework. 1 Samuel chapter 30, David came home and he had lost it all. I mean, his family had been taken away. His city had been burned down to the ground. All of his possessions had been stolen. His wife and his kids kidnapped. And there's no police to call. There's no FBI to come investigate. He's lost without everything. His men, because their wives and kids were kidnapped too, came to him and were going to kill him. There's no one in his life to bring joy to him. There's nothing in his life that is joyful. But he's got to get it back if he's going to recover all. You know what David did? He went behind a bush. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Nothing in his life could encourage him. His own men couldn't encourage him. They wanted to kill him. He had wept until there were no more tears left in him. At the end of all that, he realized, I've got to encourage myself. Friend, joy is not an emotion you feel. It's like every other fruit of the Spirit. It's a decision you make. And joy was a decision David made that day to have. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know what happened? He went and recovered all. I said he recovered all. What if he wouldn't have encouraged himself? What if he would have waited for everything else to get nice and everything else to kind of calm down before he got happy? What if he would have went to his men and said, "You just don't know what I'm going through"? He would have had a right to do it. No one would have blamed him. He probably would have gotten some sympathy. but he wouldn't have got his stuff back. I said he wouldn't have got his stuff back. He might have got some sympathy, but he wouldn't have got his stuff back. I'm going to say it again. He might have got some sympathy. He might have had some people come. Are you okay? Oh, David. Oh, David. Oh, you poor soul. I tell you what. Oh, David. He might have got some sympathy, but he wouldn't have got his stuff back. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Got up and asked God, shall I pursue? And God said, yes, pursue, and you will recover all. And you know what he did? I said he did. But it all started when he encouraged himself in the Lord. Friends, you got to do the same thing. Count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of tests and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And once patience has her perfect work, you will stand perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But it all starts with count it all joy. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience this morning. Let me pray with you before you go.